We are back. Another episode of Dynasty Theory, and I knew I was going to butcher that. There is the overlay that we all wanted. Oh, man, today we're doing a round one rookie mock draft. You might say, well, do you guys have landing spots for these players? We don't. And the 30
we did.
On the three of us working as a team is going to be really interesting. You know, you always see those things like, do you remember, like, was it Behind the Scenes or what was it called? True Hollywood Story. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, Behind the Scenes on Home Improvement, they all absolutely hated each other. That's us. That's us. I jest. All right. So we're doing a round one rookie mock draft. Jeez Louise. All right. We're going to stick with the order we've been doing for the last, what, Dan, you reminded us, 5 years or so, right?
Yeah, we have 4 years of data. This is rookie draft, mock draft number four. So we're close to 5 years data, which JB loves. He's ready to go into the sheets.
Yeah, let's get a larger sample. Let's get some of those historical picks in order. So we're going to go Dan, myself, Mitch, all the way through the first 12. We're looking at this as a 12-team super flex league, two PPR for tight ends, typical start 10, two running backs, three wide receivers, tight end, couple flex, super flex spot. Nothing crazy with any of the scoring settings. And this is, you know, really it's as if you were in a startup today with rookies. It's if you had a rookie draft prior to the NFL draft. So we are taking into account various factors and the unknown when it comes to potential landing spots. And on a future episode, we'll do something with some landing spots because I know people like that stuff. But Mitch, you kind of said it. You were going through your landing spots and you know, you had some thoughts on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now he's silent, JB. Now he's silent.
No. Like reading the comments in the chat and they're top out Hogsmeade. And I'm like, now that is interesting this morning. And then you were talking about landing spots. I wasn't fully listening to you.
That's fine. I saw the
more
blank
interesting
stiff
than you, JB. Do you see how that is, JB?
He's put
Hogsmeade over you.
Well, I thought he was saying Hogsmeade. And then I see in the chat it's Mead. But anyway, you were saying like, oh, like we could just cherry pick all these landing spots, get the juiciest landing spots. But it's not always realistic.
That's the hard thing is like the big point of contention. So everyone knows I went in, try to find some landing spots from wide receivers and stuff. There's a big point of contention on like the Dallas Cowboys selecting a wide receiver or not in the first round. But then we're talking about, well, I didn't pick any running backs to go in the mock draft for the NFL draft, right? So where are they going to go? And what would happen is I would go to the second round and be like, oh, hey, this team needs a running back. They get the first one. This team needs a running back. They get the second one. So right now, I would love to be like, you know, I really think Trey Benson goes to Dallas in the second round. Is he really? Probably not. But that's how landing spots would probably go at this point.
And so not only does it set the unrealistic expectation, but I also think it obviously artificially inflates the values of these players and maybe doesn't give you the right expectation of what we see in actual rookie drafts. Again, this is now prior to the NFL draft, obviously, unless you're living under a rock and you think the NFL draft took place already. But anyway, no more wasting time here. Dan, the honor is yours. You have the 101. And again, like I say this every year, and I don't think it registers, no offense, Dan, but look at this as if it's not a three-team league. Because I will wager right now, even saying this, I'm going to wager this, guys. At some point, Dan is going to say, yeah, JB, I got my quarterback, I got my running back, I got my wide receiver, so I feel good with this draft. It's a 12-team league, though, okay? So let's just keep that in mind.
Good to keep that in mind. I agree. You know, although at some point in there, I will get into value of the position, I'm sure, throughout our mock draft. You know, we're just keeping tradition here where I've had the luxury of picking first. You know, and historically, it's been Trevor Lawrence, Breece Hall, Bijan in pre-drafts. And I'm going to continue to not get cute and take what seems like the sure thing at 101. So if anyone who has the 101 out there, I would highly recommend not to overthink this. I think Caleb Williams is a home run smash, does it all, love his footwork. He extends plays. We project him going to the Bears. Bears have built talent around him, which I think as we look at the upcoming picks in this mock, landing spot's going to be super important. I think he's going to a solid place with the talent that they're building around him to give him a good foundation early. And I just think he's NFL ready. So Caleb Williams will be my 101.
How much do we think, and Mitch, I'll throw this over to you, with Caleb Williams, you know, we have that growing sentiment of, and I tend to think it's prospect fatigue, but so many people trying to pick apart his game, or maybe it's things off the field. Well, he was crying in the stands with his mom, and people are going to, I mean, I actually saw a tweet about that yesterday. Okay. And we're going through, and there's prospect fatigue, and these guys, you know, we want to nitpick. How much of that do you think is going to be pushed to the side then? And everybody's going to be back on that. Caleb is certifiably the 101 because of what Chicago is building around him.
I think that's exactly it. Look, I haven't been the biggest Caleb fan for well over a year now. So it wasn't really prospect fatigue for me. It's I live in Pac-12 country, so I've watched a lot of Caleb, and I wasn't the highest on him. But the fact is, Caleb is going into a spot to where overall number one picks don't really get to go. He has extremely good skill position players around him. He has a pretty good defense. Offensive line's a little sketchy, but they have other draft capital to improve it. So I think he's going into an extremely good spot to where, let's say a team like the Patriots had the first overall pick. I'm not sure if Caleb would be the overall slam dunk that he is now, because everyone would be like, well, the Patriots aren't going to be very good and they have nobody around him. So how good is he going to be? I think the whole Bryce Young from last year is so fresh in everybody's minds that everyone's going to be really worried about those landing spots for those rookie quarterbacks now.
Dan, is there anything that could happen that moves you off of Caleb at 101?
Yeah, I think maybe to Mitch's point, if there's some crazy draft trade that we didn't predict and New England hopped up or something, like Mitch said, and they had him, then from a fantasy perspective, there does come a point where, hey, the talent's there, love the kid, but this isn't a good for fantasy football situation. You know, even if New England's new coaching staff kind of figured some things out and maybe they were a little bit better, that's not really an offensive situation that I want anything to do with at this time. So it would take something really extreme like that. Otherwise, JB, like those things that are being nitpicked at, you know, I think they had a defense at USC that gave up a lot of points. He pressed. I think you could pick anything on any rookie. Nobody's perfect, but it would take something really extreme to move off the 101 with Caleb Williams.
And then I see Jay's comment in the chat about Marvin Harrison Jr., and we can get to that here with my 102. But before we get there, Mitch, Caleb Williams or Kyler Murray?
Caleb Williams.
Dan?
Caleb Williams.
Anthony Richardson or Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams.
Dak Prescott or Caleb Williams?
Caleb. That one's extremely close for me, though.
I'll go with Caleb.
All right, so is it safe to say that Caleb Williams for you guys is right in that quarterback eight territory? Mm-hmm. Are you taking him over Stroud, Hurts, Lamar, Herbert, or Burrow?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So I kind of want to give a frame of reference here with.
Hold on. You said Herbert in that class, JB? That would be the one I might. I'm still watching what they're building around Herbert.
Okay. So Dan, maybe 107, 108, or quarterback seven, quarterback eight. Get the rookie picks out of my head here for a second. Mitch, quarterback eight. I tend to agree. I'm going to be at that quarterback eight spot, both on DynastyDaddy.com and Fantasy Calc. They have him, from a value perspective, at quarterback nine with Anthony Richardson above him in both. And I'm fine with having them tiered together. You know, I could see taking Anthony Richardson, especially if it's a plus four, minus two scoring league for quarterbacks, because then obviously more of the rushing upside. But I just truly think there's very little that can happen to create concern, at least on my end, for Caleb Williams. He's been that quarterback one for me, you know, throughout the entire process. And the only thing for me that I think he could really drop in rookie drafts is if he dropped in the NFL draft. Like, let's say it's a draft day situation. I see the comment in the chat, and I see it every year. We make the jokes over and over again. Well, who went to this kid's birthday? Wait a minute. No teammates went to his birthday. So, he's slipping to 5, 6, 7. Like, unless something bizarre happened, Caleb Williams is going to be the 101.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then for me, 102. Mitch, you and I did one for the patrons a while back, a mock draft, and I was just so torn inside. But I'm going Marvin Harrison, 102. You know, even if my big issue was, even if like he goes to a spot like New England, I'm gonna stick with the talent. And this is not a knock on Malik Nabers. This is not a knock on Rome Odunze from a wide receiver perspective. I know both of those guys are garnering a ton of hype, and a lot of people now are gravitating towards Malik Nabers as their wide receiver one. And you look at from a film perspective or analytically speaking, you know, I wouldn't argue too much, but Marvin Harrison, we saw a little bit of a dip this year, but Kyle McCord, you look across the Power Five quarterbacks, he was horrendous.
It was so bad.
He was not good at all. So you look at him being Marvin Harrison, going from a situation with CJ Stroud to Kyle McCord. Well, maybe he was just elevated because we see how good CJ Stroud is. This is another situation. Unless the NFL draft tells us something differently, like let's say Marvin Harrison were to be the third wide receiver off the board in the NFL draft, there's only one, then maybe I reconsider this and, you know, I take that into account. But for me today, Marvin Harrison, 102.
I like that, JB. And I think there's some people out there, like, and I don't know if they're serious or not, but Marvin Harrison, they're trying to make a case for Nabers or, you know, another receiver being better than him. I don't think that's the case. You know, at 6'3", 205, you know I love the genetics, you know, son of a Hall of Famer. But he's even bigger than that Hall of Famer at that size. He ate my national champion Georgia Bulldogs 2 years ago. Like, they could not cover him in that game. It just makes things look so easy. So I see Jeff in the chat saying, could he threaten to be 101 in spots if you know, you start four wide receivers? I would say if that owner has like a stacked quarterback situation and just says, hey, I don't care, I'm in it to win money this year, that situation would dictate, hey, in four receivers, I definitely would want Marvin Harrison Jr., but I wouldn't pass Caleb Williams up unless it was that specific kind of situation.
But to that point, if it's a start four wide receiver league, I would see if there were an opportunity, especially if it's tight end premium, obviously if it's super flex as well, I would see if there's an opportunity to move back, pick up additional pieces, whether it's a veteran or future draft capital or something later in this year's rookie draft, and still land a Malik Nabers or a Rome Odunze. You know, especially if your league, like I always talk about league dynamic, the quarterback market in each league is so different across the board. So if you have a league that really overvalues quarterbacks, you feel pretty good that Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers is going to be there for you 105, 106, but just because of how the quarterback position is valued in your specific league. So I think knowing that, knowing your league mates' tendencies, the way your league works overall, and settings. League settings are so critical. You know, all of us, we're in leagues where you have to start two wide receivers, three, four. Maybe it's a start 12 or 13 league overall, like not just wide receivers, but that'd be wild. A start 13 wide receiver league. Man, Hunter Renfro would be going for a couple first then. But, you know, I think there some league settings could dictate it. Mitch, are there any landing spots that are even possible? Assuming Caleb Williams goes first overall to the Bears, are there any landing spots for Marvin Harrison where he could threaten that 101?
No, not for me. The 101 and the 102 are absolutely locked in for me. It's Marvin Harrison. I don't care if he is the third wide receiver taken. To me, he's going to be my 102 in every single draft, unless it's a 16-team league, because that does change things, right? But if we're talking about the standard 12-team leagues like what we are during this mock draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. is my 102, and everybody can know it because that's exactly who I'm going to pick if I make the pick on the clock.
Bill's comment in the chat, Mr. Super Dupa Flex, I was during my rant there, during my monologue, you know, I got to get my word count up. I was going to say something very similar. Dan's already like, Dan's like, what are we doing here, guys? I saw you sipping your Dunkin'. You're trying to wake up over there. But Bill says, in my eyes, there's a bigger gap between Caleb and the other quarterbacks than there is Marvin Harrison Jr. versus the other wide receivers. I agree with that. Is that fair?
It's fair.
Yeah. Okay. 103, Mitch.
I think this is, you know, we talk about the pivot point on our Patreon episode that we do most weeks, almost every week. But I really think the 103 is going to change in every single draft because there's going to be people who hate the quarterback landing spots. And the two that we know about are Washington and New England, right? And then you're going to have Malik Nabers there who people love. And I personally love another wide receiver we'll talk about later, right? It's hard. For a long time, I thought I was locked in on Caleb, three wide receivers. I'll put the quarterbacks in after that, but I've changed. I'm going to go Drake May 103, probably in most of my drafts, even if he goes to that haunted Washington landing spot. And it's, I just think he has enough to make up for a lot of difference. If Cliff Kingsbury wasn't the offensive coordinator there, I would feel so much better about that whole situation. But
you
he
love
is
there. Cliff. You love Cliff.
So it just, I mean, how you could ruin an offense with Kyler Murray as a quarterback, I don't know. But we're going to overlook that. We're going to hope that as offense coordinator, the head coach, you know, can talk him down a little bit. Drake May just brings everything that you want. I really think if Caleb Williams wasn't in this draft, Drake May would be the locked in 101. I really believe that. He can run. He's very athletic, but that's not his main skill set. He can make all the throws. Yes, he had a lot of interceptions this past year, but just like we brought up with Caleb, the offense was complete crap. Like, wide receivers weren't good. They were dropping balls. The defense wasn't very good. And it's, I think we look at Caleb and everyone's like, oh yeah, we have prospect fatigue. People forget Drake May's been in that exact same boat for the last year as well. So for me, I'm locked in at Drake May on the 103 right now.
Yeah, you talk about a typical class, Drake May potentially being that first quarterback in all likelihood. I mean, if he were 2025, unless something were to change, obviously, locked in. Like, you know, he goes out and has a catastrophic 2025 season going back to college, but whatever. Where, like, you are so against Jaden Daniels.
I'm not against him at all.
No, I heard you just hate him with every fiber of your being.
Let me just say, if he goes to the Patriots, right, Jaden Daniels was put in the perfect spot. And this is nothing against him. He had two top 20 draft pick wide receivers this year, probably. Easy. Probably top 15. My biggest issue with him is we saw with Anthony Richardson is like 245 pounds, right? He played four games this past year because he got smoked a couple times during games, right? Anyone who has watched Jaden Daniels for more than 15 minutes outside of YouTube highlights, the dude gets lit up every single game. And that's no lie, Dan. You know it. It happens.
It does.
If that happens in the NFL, I am worried about him staying healthy. And that's the one thing that could end up ruining his dynasty value is if he has two first years like what Matthew Stafford had. Matthew Stafford was called Glassford for a long time because his first two seasons he got injured. If that happens to Jaden Daniels, it's really scary. And so it's not I hate his talent or anything like that. I just hate how he refuses to dive. It's like Will Levis. But the guy weighs like 30 pounds less. And like, that's worrying, right? Am I the only one who worries about this?
No, you watch, like you said, the dude gets body slammed. He gets suplexed. I think I saw an F5, the one game. Dude looked like Brock Lesnar throwing him down to the ground. Like, his build is certainly different. And the Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams dynamic, like from a value perspective, though we are very fortunate as dynasty managers, especially if we have the luxury of having these early picks with the quarterbacks that are being injected into the league. But we thought this a few years ago, and look at that Trevor Lawrence class today. we had so many good discussions back then. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. That class has been an absolute disaster. So maybe we look at this class in a few years and we're not whistling that much of a different tune.
All good points. But Mitch, I'm not going to let that scare me away. He is slim. But in this NFL league, if he could have any discipline, you could be small. And this, the league rules are designed to protect the NFL quarterback. And he'll get in the gym and he'll get a little bit stronger. I like to believe they'll protect him, although I'm not crazy about the landing spot. I just think for fantasy, that running ability, hey, with Anthony Richardson, you know, fine point last year, hopefully those concussions, you know, you got to learn the hard way sometimes as a rookie and you protect yourself better. So at 104 here, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels in this very intriguing quarterback class. I like Drake May, but I think I'd even would have taken Daniels at 103. Give me that running quarterback that can throw. Yes, he did have two elite receivers, but someone had to get them the ball, and he made some great plays. So Jaden Daniels all the way for me here.
Just updating the picks here on my end. All right, Jaden Daniels.
I see the concern. That's why I held the challenge flag, Mitch. I held it, and I put it in my pocket like a wise coach.
I thought I saw you reaching for it. I was a little worried there, to be honest.
And I might have lost with JB's Brock Lesnar analogy. So, you know.
I mean, I'm just getting you hyped for WrestleMania, even though Brock Lesnar, he's got some other issues going on. But Jordan Love, would you take Jordan Love over Jaden Daniels, Dan?
Boy, is it hard. I would take Jordan. I'm on a like a little Jordan Love bandwagon right now. I mean, this is, they're right in that same tier for me. I'd go Love in Green Bay versus Daniels and the Patriots.
Mitch, you say Jaden Daniels.
It's close.
I'm picking Jaden Daniels, and it's not really because I like one more than the other one. It's what we've seen with the whole Justin Fields discussion previously this offseason. Yeah, people fall in love with that rushing quarterback, and it doesn't matter if he's good or bad on the field. As long as he's running for 80 yards a game, people just flat out don't care how good he is as a quarterback. So for me, I think Jaden Daniels just – his ceiling is so much higher just because of how people view him as a dynasty asset compared to Jordan Love.
Plus six, minus four, I'm going Jordan Love. I have them tiered together, but to avoid a cop-out answer, I'm going Jordan Love. Mitch, Brock Purdy, is that the same? Oh.
Just a quick thought on what Mitch is saying, though. I mean, this is, I think, leads to some really good conversation here. Anthony Richardson, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, it was Justin Fields. Like, if you hit on one of these guys, like, if they could throw and stick, it's not even close. We just don't know, right? I mean, is that because Anthony Richardson and Jalen Hurts are right there in that class with Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels. And I, you know, I'd be worried too, Mitch, with Richardson and the concussions and Jaden getting hurt. But if they could figure it out, you got a gem. League winner.
Just like you brought up, if you just look at Anthony Richardson, what he brought for that four game sample. If you get even 12 games from Daniels and he looks like a better thrower than what Anthony Richardson was with close to the same running, then his value is going to be a lot higher than probably what Drake May is. It's just you're running the fine line of how well does he actually do it in the NFL.
Because JB, you're probably right with Jordan Love, but if Daniels could throw and not get hurt, you probably change. You wouldn't get stuck on that, like, right? You just have some questions where I think Jordan Love's a lot safer right now and but much better situation.
Yeah, and I mean, he was extremely efficient, obviously, here in 2023, really utilizing the wide range of weapons they have. Didn't really focus on any one wide receiver throughout the entire season, but we saw enough that his floor is higher. From a let me rephrase this. His floor, because I know people are dying to correct anything. And I said this in the chat, and I mean it. I always like to correct any issues live on the show because there are psychopaths out there that are like me that look to correct other people. So I just want to get out ahead of it because I know how it can be. And I don't want to throw anything in a glass house. But Jordan Love has a higher floor from a longevity standpoint, I think. From a weekly production standpoint, that's not the case. And that's kind of like the Justin Fields conversation, right? If he's on the field, that floor, it's high. especially if the team allows him to run, which the Chicago Bears didn't always do. But in a plus six, minus four, I would stick with Jordan Love, and I think there's even more room to grow, maybe from a volume standpoint, where efficiency comes down, but that offsets that. And we saw a great season from Jordan Love. Is Brock Purdy the same answer for both of you? Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
I'm taking Jaden.
I think there's a huge difference between Jordan Love and Brock Purdy. Huge.
All right. And then is it Jaden Daniels or Kyler Murray?
I'd go Kyler there.
I'll go Jaden Daniels.
And then Anthony Richardson?
Probably I'll go A-Rich.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And then Dan, Dak?
I'll go Dak. He's with Jordan Love there in that category.
Same. I'll go Dak.
Dan goes Dak today until they don't extend him.
It's going to change else. Quick, JB. He could change really quick.
And then he goes somewhere else. Okay, I'm at the 105. Like Mitch said with the 103, I think the 105 right now is super interesting. And I love Malik Nabers. I love Rome Odunze. But in two PPR, I'm gonna Brock your world. I'm going to go Brock Bowers. Last name similar enough. That's good enough for me. And I just pre-NFL draft, that's where I am today. We see, you know, we need to see an immediate impact from him. But even think about like a Dalton Kincaid. He had a solid rookie season, you know, and we see quite a bit of insulation from him. And he was not even close to the prospect that Brock is. I would say look at Kyle Pitts' value and how he sustained his value over the last couple of years. But we saw a tremendous rookie season. People can discount it all they want, Mitch. But he had a tremendous – hey, you always say Kyle Pitts has done nothing. You've said that before.
Really? That's fair.
But he had a tremendous rookie season. I see Haller's comment in the chat. I'm Brock Hard. Yes, let's go Brock Bowers, 105. Where are you at on him, Mitch, from a tight end perspective? Is it Laporta, McBride, Bowers? I know there's a gap for you between Laporta and McBride.
No, so Laporta is the one, McBride is the two, and like I always say in previous years, Brock Bowers is the three by default. We like him as a prospect coming in, but we have seen a lot of first round talents fail from the tight end perspective. We just have. I understand where you're coming from. I don't mind the pick at all. I'm glad that you did it because it lets me take who I want. But I mean, I'm okay with it.
I mean, outside of OJ Howard in recent years, we've gotten production.
Eric Ebron.
You got production from him though.
Yeah, but his value was never there. Well, look, if you're getting Eric Ebron production, I don't think you're going to be happy taking him at the 105 and missing out on Nabers and Rome Odunze.
Yes, but if you get Eric Ebron production, you're not going to be thrilled. But the only one that truly busted was OJ Howard.
Kyle Pitts.
And Noah Fant wasn't sexy either. I mean, at one time he was sexy, but now...
I don't think we could get locked in with history there. I know we love that big sense of data there, but man, when Brock Bowers gets drafted by the Chargers and lands with Justin Herbert, who's going to need a one receiver, and Brock Bowers plays that Kelsey role, John's going to be drooling over this pick here at 105. And yeah, it kills me when I don't get my guys being a Georgia fan, man, but he just gets open all the time, is so consistent. Like, I just loved watching his career at Georgia. I look forward to it translate into the National Football League.
Ron's in the chat saying, listen, this is the Detroit bias from both of you. You're throwing Eric Ebron. Ron's throwing, he says, Hawk was cheeks until Minnesota. And I love that. I love that insult. I love it. But his second season, 67 receptions, over 700 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, with TJ Hawkinson, you were fairly happy with that. But Brock Bowers, he's going to be a stud.
He's going to be 120 receptions, 1,200 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Oh, man. Don't get me that excited.
I just did that math in my head. Doubled all of it, like that.
There you go. All right, so I'm going Brock at 105. But this is a case where, you know, I do think league dynamic, I would say that's the buzzword here, is going to play a role here, because I'm in several leagues where even in two PPR, you see the way people devalue tight ends. If it's a three or four start wide receiver league, then I could certainly see the case that you want to go with the potentially higher ceiling. Now, if it's 1.5 or below to for additional context for PPR for tight ends, it's not Brock for me. It's certainly one of the wide receivers. And if it's 1.5 or below, I would go Brock at 107 most likely. And maybe even then, depending on landing spots and situations, that's going to change for me. But anyway, 106, Mitch.
I'm going to take Malik Nabers. I personally prefer Rome Odunze as a prospect, but no one else does, right? Almost the majority of people like Nabers more. So I think you could probably even trade back a spot and get some extra capital if you want to move off of Nabers here. Look, he was an absolute stud at LSU. Like I said, you know, Jaden Daniels was in the perfect spot because he had him, right? And he has Brian Thomas coming up. I'm sure one of us will talk about him later. I'm not worried about the landing spots, really, because, I mean, he could easily go to the Chargers. It depends on how you think they're going to attack their tackle situation and all that stuff. Could go to the Giants. No, people hate the Giants. But there's a point to where you put a stud wide receiver on a team. It doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. Usually the stud wide receiver performs. Nobody else does. But that stud is okay. And I think Malik Nabers is that kind of prospect. I think he walks in as a top 10 dynasty wide receiver, and there's not a lot of guys like that. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the only one. And then I like Rome Odunze, but that's just, I like that. What is that? Archetype of body type of a wide receiver. Just in today's NFL, I think he's a little bit of a unicorn compared to the other guys. But yeah, not to stretch it on for another 15 minutes, but Malik Nabers, easy for me at 106.
Here, you've made the same comment a few times about the receivers that Jaden Daniels has had. You know, you look at, and this is just in general. Jaden Daniels, he transferred. Mm-hmm. He was okay prior to his final season. He has two great receivers coming in. Sounds a lot like Joe Burrow, and I'm not saying they're the same quarterback. I'm not saying they're the same type of quarterback.
I don't see a difference between Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow, to be honest with you. I think they're the exact same prospect.
Yes, they're the exact same prospect. But Joe Burrow was available in some Devy leagues prior to his last season.
Yeah.
He had Justin Jefferson. He had Ja'Marr Chase. He's elevated by those two guys. He couldn't win a quarterback competition at Ohio State, so he transferred. I'm just saying that, and again, asterisk, I'm not saying the same type of quarterback, but to use the fact that he being Jaden Daniels, has these two high-end wide receivers, Joe Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson at his disposal in college.
Mm-hmm. He did. I completely agree.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Dan,
107.
At 107. I love this draft, man. You know, I'm happy I have some more draft picks in my dynasty leagues this year, but I wish I rebuilt a couple more because it's just such a fun loaded draft. Like here at 108, there is no shortage of talent yet.
We're 107. We're 107.
Sorry, 107. My bad. Same thing for 108. It doesn't change. It's just we're loaded here. So my pick at 107. I already filled in my 107. That's why I slipped ahead of 108. At 107, though, I am going to take, because even though it's tempting to get that third stud receiver, I'm probably going to gift you one here, JB. I just think there's other receivers that I'd be happy with later. The state of the quarterback position in fantasy football just bothers me, and I'm not going to pass it up. Give me JJ McCarthy. I believe the Vikings are going to trade up or someone's going to snap him early, man. He's just big time. He's smart. He's a leader. Anybody that meditates at the goalpost before the national championship game is my kind of quarterback. He is locked in. He's all in. Coach Harbaugh's greatest quarterback ever at Michigan. Give me all of it. JJ McCarthy at 107.
I need to incorporate meditation time at the goalpost in my.
I think you should.
Pre-draft evaluation. I think
before these shows, even before the chats, JB, meditation, I think, would do you very well in putting up with Mitch and I.
It would something would do me very well, and I don't know if it's meditation.
I'm just trying to help elevate you, man. Like, you know.
But Dan, I'm so happy you took him here. And it's not so other guys drop, but I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a huge talking point because he's going to go to a good landing spot. He goes to the Vikings. He gets Justin Jefferson to throw to, right? If somehow he goes to Denver, Sean Payton is his head coach. And everyone's going to be like, well, look what happened with Drew Brees, right? And then you're going to have, like we've talked about, Jaden Daniels either going to the Commanders or the Patriots and vice versa with Drake May, right? We're not going to love those spots. But J.J. McCarthy is the guy to where everyone is going to talk about, like, look, he's in the perfect situation. He could go out and start week one and be completely. And if he doesn't start week one, by week six, he's walking into a better position than these other two quarterbacks are. So in my opinion, like, he has been creeping up my draft board for that reason, because I just think he's going to go into a great landing spot. And for me, landing spot does matter with quarterbacks. It really, really does.
Well, especially if you look at some of the guys, and again, I'm not comparing J.J. McCarthy to these guys by any means, but you look at the teams that were able to either get quarterbacks that slipped, or they were able to move up and they have a strong foundation. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes.
Just Patrick Mahomes. There we go.
And I'm smiling. If you're watching, you're listening back on the podcast feed, I'm smiling here because, again, I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy is Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson, he slips all the way to 32. You know, so I think there's a good case to be made that, like, if Minnesota were to move up, you have a good coaching staff. You know, I know some Minnesota fans, maybe they think differently, but from the outside looking in, you have a Hawk, Jefferson, as of now. Don't screw me over with my helmet, guys. Extend him, okay? Jordan Addison. You have Aaron Jones coming in. So it will be interesting to see, but I think J.J. McCarthy, he's going to be that guy that he's going to go a lot earlier than a lot of people think. I saw our guy's NFL Rough Draft, Mike Lushin, on Twitter having a back and forth with somebody, and this person was like, you're crazy if you think J.J. McCarthy's going top 15. There is, like, you see the smoke. You're seeing the flames at this point. You see the fire. It's not just smoke at this point. I would be shocked if he slips outside of the top 15.
Same.
So J.J. McCarthy at 107, I certainly get it. I absolutely get it, but you're letting Rome Odunze slip to me at 108. And there is the concern, sure, the landing spot, the New York Giants, who are they going to take? They're going to take a wide receiver. I'd be surprised if they didn't. And, you know, maybe they're in the mix to move up and secure their quarterback. We'll see how that plays out. But Rome Odunze checks absolutely every single box for me. I know people want to look at, well, some of his metrics, especially like yards per route run, weren't ideal earlier in his career. And it really took him until 2023 to take off. I think that, yeah, I see B Ford's chat, J.J. Mahomes, am I right? You heard it here first. J.J. McCarthy is Patrick Mahomes. But Rome Odunze, he checks every box for me. And, you know, he had a lot more. I saw something about his contested targets and catches here this final season. It was somewhat high, not alarmingly high. His contested target rate was around 20%. Jamar Chase's final season was like 24 or 25% coming out of college. But his contested catch rate, being Odunze, was like 75% this season.
Yeah. The dude's insane.
Those aren't 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
They aren't. So he's going to be so exciting to watch. And I could see a situation if Rome Odunze goes to the Giants, if J.J. McCarthy goes top five to a nice landing spot, somebody that moved up, and a running back goes to the Cowboys or the Chargers in the second round, I could see Rome Odunze slipping to 109 in drafts. And that's going to be a situation that is going to save my 109s if I wasn't able to move up. And I encourage it. So Rome Odunze, 108 for me.
I Love it. I mean, there's not much more to say. If you get that kind of wide receiver at 108, I think you're extremely happy, because you have to imagine if you have the 108, you're already a playoff team. And now you're adding that skill set to your dynasty roster. It's probably one of the best picks of the draft.
Yeah, I don't want to say it was the steal of this mock, but, you know, it was the steal of this mock, and we're only 8 picks in, and I think I'm going to get one more steal here before the show wraps up. But, Mitch, who do you have at 109?
Mitch, before he goes, real quick, JB, I've got two 109s. I just scoured my draft teams really quick. You made my day. Not in this mock draft, JB, in real life. In my dynasty.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. You're not 109.
I've got two of them, JB. You made me feel a little better today, JB. So go about your day knowing you made a difference in someone's life.
And that's all we can do. If we can impact one person's life positively, that's all we can do. And Dan, I'm happy that I was able to bring joy and happiness to you on this fine Sunday morning. All right, Mitch, 109.
You know, those previous couple picks, you could see them going whichever what way people like in their drafts, right? You could see them moving back and forth. Once you get to this 109, there's like four players that I think I could easily draft. There's one that I'm going to draft. I think Dan is actually going to hate it, to be
honest. I'm a little nervous now. This is the first time in this mock draft I'm nervous. Like, yeah. I don't want Mitch to snipe me. And
I don't think I'm going to snipe you, because normally I would have gone with another prospect every single previous year. But I'm not going to do it this year. I'm going to go Xavier Worthy. Ooh. I think he brings a skill set that the NFL, most NFL teams just don't have, right? Whoever drafts him, I think they're going to have an idea on how to use that speed. And this isn't a John Ross thing, to where the guy was pretty good in college and really fast, right? Watch Xavier Worthy just be a returner for Texas. The dude has elite speed with elite agility. He's going to be very good. The only issue is you just don't know how high his ceiling is. I don't know if he's going to be the 80 catch, 1,200 yard guy, or if he ends up being a better version of what Hollywood Brown has been in the NFL, right?
But and I don't think you'd be disappointed with that, though.
I don't think so either. And that's my thing, is like, it's really hard to, if you threw him in projections, it's really hard to see him being like, hey, this is a top 12 kind of guy, like what we could do with the other guys. But I do think what he brings is, you don't want to bring up the best ball, but I know I'm going to play a lot of him in DFS, because I do think he is going to break weeks, because he could have the 3 catches, 80 yards and 2 touchdowns, or 3 catches, 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not a lot of people can do that in the NFL. And so that's why I'm going with him over the wide receiver that I think Dan is going to end up taking.
And you talk about like the easy comparison for Xavier Worthy. It's going to be a John Ross. Hell, it's going to be a Jalin Hyatt, even though Worthy should go significantly earlier in the NFL draft. Both of those dudes, they broke out at the age of 21. Xavier Worthy was 18 years old going into his first season, and he broke out in a Power 5 conference. He's got the elite speed. He has the additional weapons in his arsenal that it's going to make him a very dangerous player. And I think he's one of the guys, based on everything we've seen, if he were to get a Buffalo landing spot, a Chiefs landing spot, he certainly could be a big riser. Now, big riser in terms of a few spots here, just because of how strong the top 7-8 guys are. But Xavier Worthy, if you're sitting there end of the first round and you were looking to potentially move out of your pick or move back, maybe pick up additional draft capital, I think you're going to end up being pretty happy with Xavier Worthy if you land him towards the end of the first round. So Mitch, good pick.
Hey, thanks.
Dan? This is always good for a zinger later in the first round of our mock drafts. Historically, this year, I don't think Mitch could have went wrong, but I think this hits that critical point in rookie draft season where
time really quick. We skipped several picks doing this, so maybe we'll talk about this in the Discord. I did it for like the first one and that was it. But Mitch, Xavier Worthy or JSN?
Oh, Xavier Worthy.
Zay Flowers.
Hey, Worthy. Don't I get a pick here, JSN?
Hold on, I'll get to you. Zay Flowers.
You're Worthy. Yeah, it's not close.
Jordan Addison.
Worthy.
T. Higgins.
Higgins. Yeah.
Deebo Samuel.
Worthy. Because no one trades for Deebo in Dynasty. That's like a hard set rule.
Rashee Rice.
Rice, I guess.
DK Metcalf?
Oh, DK.
All right. Man, or Dan, JSN.
I'll skip to the chase here. Other than Deebo, I think I would take all those guys over Xavier Worthy today. That could change depending on landing spot. And I'm also, and kind of where I was going with this point in the draft, I'm not sure yet whether I have Xavier Worthy over three other receivers that I think you could draft here. And I'm not saying Mitch isn't 100% right. He could be.
I get it.
I just think there's really good receivers here that I'm not sure who I'm the highest on yet. Now, in my rankings, I had Xavier a few pegs lower, but I like the kid. Like, I like the kid a lot, and he's super fast, and Mitch is right. If someone uses him right, and so I don't know today, but there's some good receivers here. But those guys you named, JB, I mean, I'm not going to devalue them at this point. A lot of them are still very young and in good situations. So other than Deebo, I'd lean those other guys today.
All right, Dan, hit us with 110.
So with 110, I'll probably surprise Mitch. And I think I'm just going to do like a quarterback show today because there are a lot of good receivers here that I would love to take. There might be a running back here that I'd love to take, JB. As you mentioned, someone could get drafted by Dallas, and that would definitely change things. But I am a believer, and I do think someone will trade up or draft him early, Michael Penix Jr. I like the lefty. I'm going to go by that last bowl game I watched, man, where he just left everything on the field. And there was some really bad O-line play in that game. Like, no one helped him. He left that game limping. I just think he's a competitor. I think he put up incredible stats. I think there's NFL teams that need quarterbacks, and he's better than a lot of the options out there in the NFL right now. So I'm going to bank today on assuming he got drafted some in the first round by someone who's going to invest in him, and I'm going to take what I think is going to be a starting quarterback in Michael Penix Jr.
Now, let me ask. You're in a rookie draft today. In an actual league, and you have the 110, you would take that gamble?
Unless my quarterbacks were loaded, JB, and it would make sense for me to have them. But I'm going under – I'm kind of just throwing that out the window now and saying, hey, best available guy, best position for a rookie draft, I would want the starting quarterback in Superflex.
Listen, I can speak from experience doing this pre-NFL draft mock that we've done but. The one year I was loading up on all these quarterbacks in this mock.
And this class is better, JB. This class is better.
I know. But if it comes down to Penix or Nix, do you think Penix goes before him in the NFL draft?
I could see that. And I like Nix a bit too. I think this is a real special draft for quarterbacks, but I just put in the chat. I could see someone like the Raiders, are they really going to go with Gardner Minshew or whatever that other guy's name is?
Aiden O'Connell.
I mean, like, I just don't see it. That's fair. I just don't see it. Yeah. So I see them in a prime position to be able to get a Michael Penix Jr.
Dan, when you brought up you're going to take a quarterback here, I just wrote down Bo Nix in my sheet. I didn't even consider Penix, but I actually think this is a spot to where we can. I think there's going to be five quarterbacks selected in the first round of the NFL draft. I really think it now.
But drop the PE. It's going to be Nix.
Yeah, we think it's Nix, but really, who knows?
A little wordplay.
More than likely, it's going to be because an NFL team falls in love with that prospect. And like we bring up before, all it takes is one. It could easily be Denver walking into it. And Sean Payton, who's getting paid $25 million a year, whatever it is, he walks in and says, that's my guy. That's who I want. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's who they're going to draft, right? So in my opinion, I really do think this could end up being a quarterback in a lot of super flex drafts.
I wouldn't mind seeing Nix with my guy, Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims. I wouldn't mind that.
What about Penix?
The offensive line better be ready. If wherever Penix goes, that offensive line better be ready to go.
In his defense, Caleb Williams would have been limping out of that bowl game with the protection that was provided for Penix. Like, I legitimately felt bad for that kid. There was some major quick whiffs, man, and there was just nowhere to go. And he kept getting back up, and he kept making throws. Maybe similar to the spirit of the, you know, that LSU quarterback receiver argument. You know, got a stud receiver in Rome. He had some good targets. I think there's something there. But I also think, again, what do NFL teams think of him and Bo Nix? That's what we need to find out. So from here on, this pick on, I think it's a big asterisk. Where do these guys land?
I know where John's going. I know where John's going right now.
I'm not done with this quarterback conversation. Even if they don't go in the first round, mm-hmm. and let me finish my thought before, like, we got people in the chat with their pitch.
Yeah, like, we interrupt you, John.
I've never interrupted. Hey, I'm trying to work on this, okay? All right? So I'm looking at these quarterbacks, and if Penix or Nix go second round, third round, especially if it's an intriguing landing spot where they could compete for the starting job, I think we're going to see them wrongly elevated in rookie drafts because, hey, I need a quarterback. Hey, I need, they could compete for that starting job. I welcome people to then take a Nix or a Penix. And you saw Sam Howell was still going at the back end of the first, even after he slipped. Malik Willis, I said, do not spend a first-round pick. And now I'm getting fired up. Don't spend a first-round pick, especially post-NFL draft, when these guys slipped. The NFL told us what they thought. People were still doing it. And I see Bill's comment. This is for pre-NFL draft, rookie draft, right? Bill,
100%.
I try to set the rules here. No, wait.
I think you're getting a little maybe unnecessarily worked up there because my pick again goes.
It's necessary when I get worked up.
I was on record for saying depending on where they go. Never did you hear me say if they go in the second round. But that is with the assumption that Penix is going in the first round. If he goes in the first round, I'm in. If he goes in the second round,
that's a dangerous assumption. That's a dangerous assumption. If you are,
I'm relying on my eyes in that bowl game, JB, that tells me he's going in the first round. Just like Stroud the year before when he was amazing versus Georgia. I just think he poured his heart out in that game. He's a competitor, and I think someone's not going to pass him up. JB, if they tell us that they're not going to pass him up in the first round, he's a first rounder.
If he is a first rounder in the NFL draft, sure, that's a different story. But that's a dangerous assumption.
That's my story.
But you truly believe, like, you're in a rookie draft right now in a league that costs money. You're investing Michael Penix at 111 right now?
I'm in a mock draft on the Dynasty Theory podcast right now where I'm willing to take that pick. There's a difference there too, JB.
Listen, when we're done, when we wrap up here, I want you to go back to the first couple minutes of the episode. I said we're looking at this as a startup you're in today or a rookie draft pre-NFL draft. That's what I said.
And in those leagues where I have Derek Carr, I'm going to roll the dice on my assumption and take a shot at Penix, yes. It's a league where I'm loaded at quarterbacks, then maybe I won't go with my assumption because I do see your point, JB, and maybe I would go somewhere else.
I would certainly go somewhere else. I would not go Michael Penix at 110.
Well, we will see, won't we? We will see where this draft goes.
Here's the thing. Like, we talk about these pre-NFL draft rookie drafts, right, that we have leagues with them. We see people asking questions, startups with rookies included. If you're right, you gain value on everybody else in your league. You do. Yeah, if Dan is right, he will gain value. If he is wrong, that's the hinge, right? But if he's wrong and Nix or Penix go in the second round, even if they end up going in the 111 or 112 because people incorrectly draft them there, that will hurt him. But if he's right, if Bo Nix goes to Denver, or Penix goes to Denver, or to the Raiders, they are going to be worth the 110 minimum in value across the leagues. So it's the gamble you have to be willing to take. Is what I will say.
I see Raven in the chat. Deep breath, sir. Deep breath. It might be your first time watching live. You know what? I could use a Snickers. I could use a Snickers here, Jay Stu. But, like, there is minimal upside, in my opinion, even from a value perspective. And I'm all about value. I love value. All right? Favorite hardware store's True Value. That's a hardware store, right? Shows you how much I know. But hold, no. It's my time. It's okay.
John has not had enough time yet.
There is minimal upside. Even if Michael Penix goes in the first round, maybe he gets up to 109. Maybe. If all else goes accordingly, put that flag away. If all else goes accordingly, Caleb, Marvin, May, Daniels, Brock, Neighbors, McCarthy, Adunze, worthy question mark. 109 is the ceiling. Nobody's taken him over 109.
But you're saying there's no upside or no nothing good about taking a starting quarterback at 110? If he gets drafted in the first round, like I think he will.
Not with the risk.
That's gold at 110.
Not with the risk.
I'm celebrating.
It's fool's gold. It's not with the risk.
Well, every pick has a risk. But the opportunity for a starting quarterback at 110, that's a gift.
There is far too much downside with a Penix at 110.
And I'm going to regret missing a receiver or running back when I had a shot at a starting quarterback at 110.
You got
a team that's going to commit to him and put their resources into him for a minimum of 3 years.
All right. We could go on all day about this. Dan, I will be driving out to Scranton. I'll see you later today.
All right. Real quick. I'm just going to add just real quick. John, you're right. He could only, his max is probably the 109, even if he gets taken in the top 15. Right. But the second that that draft's over, the second you select him at the 109 and he gets brought up into a normal dynasty value, his value is going to be worth a lot more than the 109. Yes, that's where he's at right now. But if it happens like what Dan's saying, just say it happens that way.
Gamble.
He will be worth more dynasty value-wise than what that 109 is actually worth today.
But that if... It's hold on, I gotta move back for
just
this.
Just wait till you bring up this wide receiver you're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about an if here in a second.
That if is this big. We're not talking about a little if. I had to move back in my chair across my office to present the size of that if.
Why is it that far fetched that being that crazy of an if? There are legitimate good people in the NFL that like Michael Penix.
What good people?
Daniel Jeremiah likes Michael Penix. He's got a real good reputation. If I'm a fantasy football player,
anyone else
look at good resources that like him, you know, not that PFF stuff that Mitch is throwing at me pre-show.
Wow. All right.
So shots at me and I'm just sitting here, man.
For me, I would not take Michael Penix pre-NFL draft at 110.
Who would you take at 111, though?
And I'll leave it at that.
You're on the clock, JB. Go ahead. Who is so exciting here at 111 that like Michael Penix doesn't have a shot at being selected?
I hope it's the person I'm thinking of.
Brian Thomas.
Ooh, surprise.
I am taking Brian Thomas. I have him in that 108 to 110 tier. And now there are subpar quarterbacks that very well might not be anywhere near the first round of the NFL draft. And if Michael Penix goes in the first round of the NFL draft, I'm going to throw my phone away because Dan's not going to let me hear the end of it. But for me, it's Brian Thomas. B Ford saying he's overrated. Okay. I think he is appropriately rated if I'm getting him at the 111. So Brian Thomas, he is going in the first round of the NFL draft. And even if he doesn't, it's not a death sentence for wide receivers, but the NFL is going to tell us a lot more about what they think of Michael Penix here in a month's time. So give me Brian Thomas at 111.
John, I have a question. This isn't verbatim, but it's pretty close. Sometime in October, you had, I don't know if it was a tweet or if it was in the Discord, you said something along the lines of, I really hope, or you think people are going to take Brian Thomas in the first round, so then you don't have to, or something close to that. I know you have it word for word, but what changed between that point to where you didn't want Brian Thomas to now?
I believe it was early November. All right. And I only know this because it was brought up recently because, you know, the receipts are forever. Okay. The quote was, I hope he goes in the first round of the NFL draft so he's overdrafted and pushes other players down. It was along those lines. Yes. But this is before I'm doing scandalous things in those sheets. Okay. once the season wrapped up, then I'm getting in there. I'm going through all of my metrics and the different variables I'm looking at. And yes, that was before I finalized my best educated guess on these guys. Okay. So yeah. Yes, November. It was a different time. It was cold outside. Okay. I wasn't thinking right. I was wrapped up in my blankets, drinking my hot cocoa, maybe some extra marshmallows. I don't know.
You're watching Steelers football and it upset you. I get it.
Yeah. So give me Brian Thomas. All right, Mitch. I'm opening the door here at 112 for you. We all know who you're taking.
Ladd McConkey.
The lad.
Wow. Yeah.
If you go back to the scouting combine, he was the best wide receiver there outside of Romo Dunze. He did everything well, every test he excelled at. The one worry is he did have back issues at Georgia, right? That is the one thing that will constantly be in my mind. But at 112, all these guys have, well, what about this? What about that? If they didn't have that, we would be drafting him in the top six or top eight. So, but I think he's going to go to a great landing spot, and he's going to be a slot guy to where the second he walks in, you're going to be like, yeah, he's going to get 70, 80 receptions if he stays healthy for the year. So Ladd McConkey's the slam, and it's the best value of the draft, if you ask me.
The Ladd at 112. Okay, so you have the 112.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take any of these guys over the 112? So not, yeah. I know it's Ladd McConkey for you, but just for everyone. Terry McLaurin?
No.
Would you take Chris Godwin?
No.
Davante Adams?
No.
Cooper Kupp?
No.
Stephon Diggs?
No.
Christian Kirk?
No.
So you're taking the 112 over all these guys, right?
Yeah, they're all dust. Yeah.
Mike Evans?
He's the one guy. No, I'm not doing it, but he's the one that would make me hesitant.
Amari Cooper?
No.
Jaden Reed?
No.
George Pickens?
Nope.
Hollywood Brown?
Nope.
Deebo Samuel?
Nope.
T. Higgins?
T is the breaking point. I'm probably keeping the 112, but Higgins is the better value, I think.
Bryce Young. Will Levis.
Why you gotta do this to me? I'm gonna go Will Levis, and I'm not gonna enjoy it.
James Cook.
112.
Two PPR for tight ends, Dallas Goedert.
112.
All right, that's the last one I'll throw at you. Dan just nodding.
I'm with Mitch. I'm just about all that too. I mean, the one, some of them, you know, I try to negotiate a little bit. It's when you throw out names like Davante Adams and T. Higgins, and I mean, they're tough decisions if you're a contending team.
Oh, I like this. This is going to be a nice little teaser for us, Jeff. The 201 to 203 are going to be dynamite this year. So many running back holes on good teams like Dallas that will more than likely draft one in rounds two or three and drop Ladd Brian Thomas into the second, in my opinion. That's whenever things are going to get very interesting post NFL draft. And we are going to be doing the second round in a couple weeks. Next week, we have Easter Sunday. Dan and I are going to be doing a show on Saturday.
Yes, I believe so.
The following week, Dan's going to be at WrestleMania. So Mitch and I are going to be doing a show that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's the 14th that we're going to get back into the mock. We're going to be talking about the second round in 12-team Superflex. These guys are all taken off the board. And we'll start that show by just very quickly saying if we're going to change any of the picks that we already made. So, Dan, I'm going to give you a second chance to change that 110 if you want.
Let the fireworks continue. Now, yeah, JB, I did say, you know, you could go different directions here, but
it could. All right, Dan, final thoughts, not playing the little final thoughts. Episode 238 in the books, going through the first round rookie mock here in 2024. A lot of fun conversations. I have people ask me what kind of coffee I drink. It's nothing special. I'm just jacked up to talk about fantasy football. So, Dan, what do you got? Final thoughts.
Man, JB, I can't wait for the round two episode just to pick up this conversation. You can go as deep as 208 with guys that I think could have been taken here in this first round that we had. So look forward to that, man. We'll keep our studying on the Dynasty Theory side of things. I'm already starting my United Football League DFS studying. So if there's any sickos out there like me that want to, you know, go deep into this, I'll be around.
Anyway, Mitch, what do you got? Final thoughts, 238th episode.
I was talking about this in the Discord earlier in the week, but I've done quite a few of these four round mock drafts now. I love all the picks through like 305, 306. Then after that, I hate them until I just draft a running back at the end of the fourth. But anyone who is trading for picks right now, if you could get that early third or better, I think it's really strong. Late third, early fourth, I just think there is such a glut of players there that I don't know if you're actually gaining too much value there. But that's all that I have.
Hopefully you all enjoyed the show. Thanks for spending time with us on a Sunday morning. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate it if you subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast feed, I encourage you to come check out a live episode. The chat, absolutely incredible again today. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. For Mitch Sorensen, Dan LaMagna, I'm John Bauer. We'll catch everybody next week. Thanks.